of Simchas.
Kof Tes Teves, Sunday the 26th of January. Rabbi Moshe Levy, Boiling Blood. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Joseph, Lichvot Simchas and Esurim of Ephraim Joseph, grandson of our Maggid Shir, Yankee Wiesenfeld, and Shani Krauss. Mazel Tov.
Morning. It's funny you say that story. Last,
you can use it.
Last Shabbat, for sure. Last Shabbat, I was in Lakewood, New Jersey. My brother made a bar mitzvah. And Friday, we packed up the car. We had a bunch of stuff. Baruch Hashem, we drove, and we're good. Matzah Shabbos, I'm running here, picking up there, going to it. Trying to turn on the car. Nothing. So, I had somebody... The battery was working fine. I had somebody jump the car. So Baruch Hashem, the car jumped. It took time. I was like rushing people. What's going on? Like, I'm like, the car is waiting outside. They're like, relax. I'm like, no, I cannot turn it off. If I turn it off, it's not going to start again. And I kept thinking, Baruch Hashem, that this didn't happen on Friday. Because if it happened on Friday, how would we have gotten? So,
absolutely.
Yep. It reminded me. That was last week. Baruch Hashem. always simchas. Baruch Hashem. So he said to me, the topic is boiling blood. And I said, when I said to Dudi, what's the topic? And I said, something to do with blood, maybe boiling blood. And then afterwards, he hung up and I said, they're probably going to assume I'm talking about the Gemara with Zechariah, where the blood is boiling for many generations. But that's not it. Sorry. We look at these parashiyot. And there's a common theme throughout the parashiyot of the Geula. Everywhere we look, we see blood. They tell a story of a Rav, new rabbi. He's in the community a few months, and someone comes to the president and says, you know, Rabbi, it's so weird. He says to the president, the rabbi, it's so something weird. I said, why? His speeches are always exactly 11 and a half minutes. It's never 10, never 11, never 12, 11 and a half. So the president starts paying attention. He times the rabbi the first week, 11 and a half minutes. Next week, 11. After 4, 5, 6 weeks, it's exactly 11 and a half minutes. He's trying to figure out the gematria. He's trying to figure out what's pshat? How do you get 11 and a half minutes? So he can't figure it out. He comes to the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, is 11 and a half a Kabbalistic meaning? It's like 11 and a half tribes, almost complete. Rabbi says, what are you talking about? He says, your speech is always exactly 11 and a half minutes. He says, really? The president says, yeah, I've timed you. I've been timing you for the past 2 months. I don't know, I'll tell you. I leave my house, I start preparing the speech, I get to shul, I'm done. I live 11 and a half minutes from the shul. Right? Like I said, I came from New York, 7 hours there, 7 hours back. Get comfortable. No. I was listening to a shir, Baruch Hashem, I was able to sleep. I have on the plane. Some people can't sleep on the plane. I was quite exhausted before we took off. I was out. They woke me up, sir, we're landing, you need to take this, do that, so Baruch Hashem. But I was listening to a shir from Rabbi Orlovsky. And he said an interesting idea that I thought I'd repeat. He said, we know some of the halachas of Tumah and Tara. If I have the tree, the Shnayis, the example they always use is a dead mouse. Dead mouse. I have a tree with apples on it, and a dead mouse touches the apples. Are the apples tameh? No. Why are they not impure? They're attached to the tree. What if I have a box of apples on the floor, and a dead mouse falls into the box? Is the whole box tameh? It depends if there's mashke, if there's liquids. The seven types of liquids that make things with the dead mouse that would make it all impure. What are those liquids? So, obviously there's water. Milk. What else? Wine. Blood. Oil. Honey. And? Said oil, wine, water, honey, milk, blood, and the last one is dew. Tal. Tal. Dew. And Rabbi Orlovsky said, we know that there's seven main chagim. It must be each one corresponds to one of the chagim. I found this quite fascinating. And he said, it makes perfect sense. We'll go through it. Chanukah is obviously
oil.
Oil. Shavuot is
milk.
Cheesecake. Not cheesecake, but milk.
Terror.
Yeah. Water is
Sukkot.
Isuch Hamayim. You have honey on Rosh Hashanah. Wine is Purim. Yeah? You have dew, which is a confusing one. What is dew? See, he said dew is Yom Kippur. Why? Because dew is not physical. It's not tangible. It's not really something that you can collect in a cup. The same way at Yom Kippur, we don't eat. We're malachim, we're in shul all day, we're getting rid of our physicality and being totally spiritual. So too, Yom Kippur corresponds to the dew. And the last one is blood on Pesach. Why is blood Pesach? Tu Bishvat is not necessarily one of the chagim. There's from the Torah, you have the Shalosh Regalim Yom Kippur, and then you have Chanukah Purim. It was a big day, Tu Bishvat. You have Tu Ba'av, and La Davar Sol.
Fruit juice is not Mechaba?
Fruit juice, maybe also, it doesn't correspond to one of the chagim.
No, that would be Tu Bishvat.
Maybe fruit juice, you could do Tu Bishvat. It's a good one.
So what's Dam?
Dam is Pesach. Why is Dam Pesach? Because when you look at the whole story of the Geula and the redemption and Pesach, leading up to Pesach, we see blood over and over. Moshe Rabbeinu sits there arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a week. Till he finally says, okay, I'm willing to go. But I can't. Why not? My brother Aharon HaKohen, he might be insulted. Now I look at this and I think, you got to be crazy. There's millions of people suffering in concentration camp-like situations. And one guy, you might hurt his feelings. What's the question? It's what we would call a casualty of war. It's a necessary evil. It's the cost of doing business. So one guy might be insulted and you save millions of people. What does Hashem say? You're right. But don't worry. Aaron HaKohen Zit Tzadik V'Ra'av V'Samach B'Libo. He'll be happy for you. Which means if Aaron was not such a tzaddik, we never would have heard of this Moshe Rabbeinu guy. Fascinating to think about. If we never would have, if Aaron wasn't a tzaddik, his feelings would have been hurt, then Moshe couldn't have been the Redeemer. He could not have been the... Because Hashem said, you're right. You wouldn't be able to go if Aaron would have been insulted. But, he'll be happy for you. Don't worry about it. Unbelievable. Sometimes you're doing certain things in the shul, in a committee, you're like, oh, but this one might be insulted. They already did the same thing, and we're going to do it better than them, and we might hurt their feelings. They're going to feel like we stabbed them in the... So don't do it. Oh, what do you mean? We're going to do a better job. We're going to have many people learn that. Can't do it. Can't do it. You have to be sensitive. I was invited to be on a Pesach program. And the people that were running the Pesach program, previously they had been with someone else, and they had the same... two or three people that had been with person A last year and the year before, and now they decided we're going to do our own Pesach program. And theirs was 5-star, another one was 4-star. And both of them said to me, you want to come? And I said to my wife, you're going to think I'm crazy. Yeah, but I think we should go on the 4-star one. She said, why? I said, because the other one, it's not right to the guy organizing. He's going to feel like we all sort of teamed up and stabbed him in the back. So even though I don't owe him anything, you know, it's not like, you know, but I don't think it's right. Not that the other people do anything wrong. Like Kavod, there's no halacha. It's not Hasagas Gavul. There's tons of problems. I can't do it. I don't think... There's a right and a wrong. And again, if I would have gone, I didn't do anything wrong. You have to be careful of people's feelings. Even if you're not going to gain as much of it, you have to be sensitive. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's convinced by Hashem. He decides he's going to go. But as he's traveling... What does the Pasuk tell us? Moshe Rabbeinu is traveling. Vahi baderech, b'malon, Moshe Rabbeinu is in Parashat Shemot, Pasuk Chav Dalid, Perek Dalid. He's traveling. Vayifkesheu Adonai vayivakesh lamito. Hashem meets him and decides he's going to kill him. Hashem just convinced him for a week, go save the Bnei Israel. He finally says, okay, I'll go. He's traveling. And Hashem meets him and decides he's going to kill him. Our rabbis tell us, what's happening over here? His son didn't have a brit milah. So this giant snake comes and swallows him up till that area. So he understands this is about the Brit Milah. Vatikav tziporot tzor, tzipora, his wife, he can't move, he's swallowed up by the snake. She takes a sharp rock, vatikrot et orlat, bena, she cuts off the orla of her son, vatigav et aglav, vatomer, what does she say? Chatan damim atali. You are a chatan. What type of chatan? Of blood. Right? So a nice idea, chatan. Chet. There's three times we call someone a chatan. By a Brit Milah, that's chet. Of the word chatan is the eighth day. We have someone who's being bar mitzvah. What do we call him? Chatan bar mitzvah. That's taf for Torah. And the noon of chatan, nisuin. Someone's getting married is a chasen. Chatan damim atali. You're the chatan of blood. But vayere b'menu az amra chatan damim lamulot. The snake sort of slithers away. Let's go, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're chatan damim lamulot of the Brit Milah. So we see over here blood. We know Moshe Rabbeinu. He comes. And he's worried, what if the people don't believe me? Hashem says, we'll show them some signs. What are the signs? Take a stick, throw it onto the floor, it will turn into a snake. And if that doesn't work, stick your hand in, take it out, it'll be like leprosy, it'll be white, kashalek, put it back in, voila, now, back to normal. And if that doesn't work, this isn't Paro, this is the Bnei Israel. If that doesn't work, take a cup of water, pour it on the floor, turn it into blood, and that will convince the people. Why? Why will that be the clincher? Why will that be the thing that's now we're going to be saved? Especially like we know, they were in Mitzrayim. They knew witchcraft and magic all over the place. What was the first makkah? Makkah of blood. It's totally separate than the oath, than the sign that they're showing Bnei Israel. Again, we see blood. This week's parasha. What happens? The Jewish people are told, you now need to leave Mitzrayim. What do you need to do before you leave Mitzrayim? Put the blood on the doorpost. Why do you have to do that? I understand, take the Korban Pesach show, I'm getting rid of Avodah Zarah and I believe in Hashem. I get that. I can even appreciate dipping the Agudat Ezav into the blood. Ben Ishchai famously says, how did the Jewish people get down to Mitzrayim? Yeah? With the first dipping. What was the first dipping? Yosef's coat. That caused sinat chinam, that caused baseless hatred. Now before we leave, this, it's called an agudat ezov, right? The aguda convention. The aguda, the party that started in 1920. And the aguda, you have to have everybody gathering together and you dip it in the blood. But why put it on the doorpost? Again, we see blood. The first time Bnei Israel really call out. Parashat Shemot. Vayi vayamim arabim mahem vayamod melech Mitzrayim. The beginning of Parashat Shemot says, Vayakom melech hadash ha-mitzrayim shel yedad Yosef. Big machloket, same, how could you not know Yosef? I'm sure there were statues all over Egypt. This is the guy, he helped us, he saved us. You know, a little bit of history. Imagine some prime minister says, I never heard of this Winston Churchill guy. How could you not have heard of him? He was the guy. Surely he's heard of him. I don't agree with his policies. Did this wrong, that wrong? Maybe. But to say I never heard of the guy, how could he not have heard of Yosef? Big machloket. But over here, straight out, Vayi bayamim arabim ahem, vayamod melech Mitzrayim. That king for sure died. V'anchu b'nei semen avodah v'yitz'aku. They call out. V'tal shavatam elokim en avodah. When do they call out to Hashem? Says Rashi, vayamod melech Mitzrayim, v'hayah shochet tinokot Yisrael. This paro used to slaughter the Jewish babies. And he would bathe in their blood. Once again, what do we see? You see the blood. And I don't know, but it would make sense to me. For whatever reason, the physicians say bathe in the blood of the Jews. If he would have done it, it's pretty nasty, it's pretty disgusting. You do it once or twice and it doesn't work, I don't think he's going to do it again. It must have been that it worked. If he kept doing it. Why did Hashem make it like that? Why did Hashem make it that the blood of the Jewish babies is what's going to help and save Paro? Doesn't make any sense. Why did Hashem do that? Why over and over and over do we see blood of all the mashke, of all the liquids? Why is it blood that corresponds to Pesach throughout our story? So, when somebody slaughters an animal, we know that you need to salt the meat. Why do you need to salt the meat? It's full of blood. If you adam wa nafesh, we don't need it. What happens? If somebody takes a heart and they try and salt the heart, will they get any blood? No. The heart doesn't absorb blood. Yeah? All the blood flows through it. It directs what needs to go where, but the heart itself doesn't absorb blood. What about the liver? The liver, the whole thing is blood. If you tried to salt it, it would basically disintegrate, if I'm not mistaken. The whole thing is blood. In this week's parasha, boiled paro, why should Moshe Rabbeinu come to paro? Ki ani hechbadati et libo. We see, end of last week's parasha, vechazak le paro, back and forth. And there's a big difference between chazak and kaved. But what is kaved? It's the liver. Ki ani hechbadati et libo. We say that somebody should be a melech. What does it mean to be a melech? So our rabbis tell us, melech, the mem stands for moach, the lamed stands for lev, and the chav stands for kaved. Kaved. It should be that your intellect tells your heart, and your heart now tells the kaved. The kaved is the root of all desire. And I'm just repeating what I've heard, I'm not a Kabbalist, but the desire, the ta'ava, comes from the kaved. Really, it should be your melech. First, your brain tells your heart. Your heart is what causes you to make many decisions, but it should start from the brain, to the heart, to the kaved. Then you're a melech. Paro at this stage is no longer a melech. Ani hechbadati et libo. Where are the decisions coming from? They're coming from his desire. They're coming from what he wants. It makes no sense. Your people are suffering. They're dying left, right, and center. Economy has collapsed. Everything's gone. Country's in shambles. Use your head. It's not worth it. He wasn't using his head. He wasn't even using his heart. His kaved, hechpadati et libo. The lev was being run by the kaved, hechpadati et libo. There was no intellect at all. And even the lev was being run by the kaved. It was being run by what he wanted. He was oblivious and blind. What is the blood meant to be doing? What does it mean to have boiling blood? The people in Mitzrayim were dejected, distraught, and depressed. Paro broke them. I was giving a shir last week, and I said, it makes no sense. What does Paro do? Moshe Rabbeinu shows up, let the people go. Paro says, it must be, if you're contemplating going to the desert 3 days, bringing korbanot to your God, you have too much free time, you got to work harder. What would I have said? Instead of one building per day, I want 2 buildings per day, per person. Instead of working from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m., I want you to work from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. That would be logical. What does Paro say? I want you to keep the same quota, but you got to go find your own bricks. Nama. Straw is one thing they had. Give them some straw, give them materials. Paro didn't care about productivity. What did he care about? He cared about breaking the people. Breaking their heads. Messing with their heads. If Paro says work from 6 in the morning to 12 o'clock at night, what are they doing during those other 6 hours? They could sleep, they could relax. But if they need to find their own straw, can they sleep? You can't even sleep. I never know where I'm going to get it from. When someone has back-breaking physical labor, it's exhausting. But when they have mental labor, when they don't know how they're going to pay their bills, when they're having a big argument with their spouse, it's so much worse. They can't even sleep. There's no peace of mind. Paro wanted to break them. He said, he made the men do women's work and the women do men's work. What does that mean? It wasn't about men's work or women's work. It was about trying to break them. They shouldn't feel fulfilled. Yeah? Imagine a Wiesenfeld. Talmud Chacham sits, learns all day, and Paro comes and says, from now on, I want you to go to Phoenix. You're going to sell makeup. It could be he does the best makeovers ever. I don't know. Yeah? But would you feel fulfilled every day waking up selling makeup? That's not your thing. You have someone, they're very artistic, graphic designer, architect. They say from now on, be a lawyer. Do paperwork. I'm creative. I can't sit here all day in front. I'm a people person. I can't sit in front of a computer all day. Paro made the men do women's work, women do men's work. He was just trying to break them. And it's exhausting. It's mentally draining. You come, you build a building, and it's on quicksand. You come back the next day, and half of it's gone. He was just trying to break. He didn't care about productivity. They're exhausted, they're distraught, they're broken. What does Hashem say? You're basically walking dead. You're walking dead. Over and over and over we see this concept of blood. Why? Because when your blood gets flowing, it means you're alive, it means you're doing. Why does Hashem make it that the blood of babies, never, is what cures Paro? Because when do they call out? They only call out when the conditions get so extreme, so ridiculous, that it wakes them up. The blood starts boiling. Hashem, Yitzhaku, what's going on over here? How could you let this be? This is crazy. Chatan damim la mulot. When somebody has a brit milah, again, I don't know much about these things, but there's a certain kedusha, why there's a blockage, and you get rid of that. Umal Hashem elevavcha velevav zarecha. You can even have a brit milah in your heart, because that orla is what's blocking. It's what's blocking the ultimate connection. It's what's blocking you from living. Hashem looks at the people, and they're dead. They're alive. We say, lo amut ki echyeh. Obviously, if I'm not... No, you can be alive, physically, but you're just going through the motions. You're the walking dead. So what has to happen? Hashem needs to wake them up. Moshe Rabbeinu takes a stick, throws it on the ground. The stick's dead. What happens? Boom. Becomes alive. My hand is basically dead. You go to the doctor, we're going to have to amputate it. There's no blood flowing. This is dangerous. Puts it back in. You could be dead and then become alive. You could be water. It just flows. It's nothing. It's shum davar. And what happens? You pour it and boom, it turns to blood. It's alive. It's go. It's moving. It's doing. Before you leave, you have to understand what's on my doorpost? Blood. If I'm leaving, I'm leaving so that I can live a life of connection. Not just go through the motions. I need to live. Tomorrow is the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Yeah. I've been to Poland, I lost count, 19, 20 times. And there was a terminology. There were so many people in the camps. It was Muslim. They were what was called walking dead. They were alive, but they were broken, and understandably so. How could Hashem let such a thing be? And no, nobody knows. But one thing we see, before there's a Geula, Hashem says, you need to have your blood boil, you need to wake up. But Yitzhaku, you need to call out to Hashem, and if you don't do it, Hashem will find a way, in the most ridiculous conditions, to try and get you to wake up and have your blood be boiling and live. And live. That's what has to happen before there's a Geula. And it could be, you're doing everything right, but you're just going through the motions. So what has to happen? Hashem says, Pesach, redemption, Geula, that's blood. That's alive. Slowly but surely people, they say when they want to cook a lobster. I don't know much about these things, never had lobster. Well, how do they cook a lobster? You get to pick which one you want. And they put it in the pot, and at first the water is good. And he's thinking, wow, this is nice, it's comfortable. And they turn up the heat a little bit, he's like, ooh, jacuzzi. Yeah, alright, I can go for this. A little bit hotter. Before it knows it, every few minutes they turn up the fire, it's done. That's how Paro got us. Come work. Community project. Everybody's involved. Gavaldik. And then the Egyptians sort of, peter away. Alright, wow, you're doing great work over here. The next day, taskmasters come. Yeah, I expect, last week you did two buildings, I expect at least two buildings a week. I gotta go. No, Paro said. And then they show up with whips. And then slowly but surely they break them. That's how the Yetzer Hara gets us. We become very complacent. It starts A, and then B, and then C. And before you know it, you're a slave. And you become a slave and you would just get used to being a slave. And you don't know any other way. It's just what you do. And then something happens that wakes you up that you say, I can't. This is crazy. I can't continue like this anymore. I need to wake up. When the blood's flowing, when somebody cries out, Vayitzaku, then what happens? Then Hashem says, alright, now we can move. Now we can do. Rav Lau is going around, speaking. I had the zechut to hear him one time at a dinner, he told this story. And he said, there was a few kids, but even the people. And we were gotten together, and even the people that they hid kids, they got the kids together. and they were so, they lost everything. They lost their parents. They lost most of their siblings. He says, and then we were told, it's okay to cry. We hadn't cried. They didn't let us cry, because one crying is infectious. As kids, they didn't really let us cry. The situation was so terrible. Nobody cried. We were just like in shock. We didn't know any better. It was always depressing. We're in camps. We're in ghettos. We had no control over anything. We were slaves, basically. And then after we were liberated, we were told you can cry. And one kid cried, and then everybody was crying. He said, when we were crying, I knew we would survive. Beforehand, we almost weren't human. Once we started crying, we were alive. Payitzaku, we need to scream out. We need to wake up. The blood needs to get boiling. If we got together and said, what are the tzaros in Klal Yisrael? What are the problems? We took the list, this shituchim, this kid's going off the derech, even those that are on the derech, they're learning, but they're not really enjoying, and behind closed doors, they're watching this and doing that. And that. We could go on for hours. But what happens? We say, all right, you know, this is what it is. It's today's generation. It's, you know, nothing's perfect. There's always been challenges. Hashem says, wake up and cry out. Scream. Your blood needs to get boiling. This is unacceptable. We can't have this. Hashem, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael, that's when Hashem listens. When you suddenly say, this is not acceptable. And sometimes extreme things need to happen for you to wake up, because Hashem tried all the other ones and it didn't work. We have to have that connection to Hashem. We have to want it. We have to yearn for it. Remember, Moshe Weinberger came to speak in my kollel. His son was in the kollel. And he said, I think it was 1930s, 1940s, here in England, they were having a poetry contest. In America, they get together in the pubs and they drink. Over here, it's more civil. England, they had a poetry contest. And they said, we're going to give out a poem to the three finalists. Each one will read the same poem. And depending on who reads it the best, they will win the award. What do they choose? They choose from Tehillim, Psalms. Mizmor David, Adonai Roi lo etzar, benoteshi ar biteni. Gam ki elech begetza amavet, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, loy that I will not be scared, ki atayim adi, Hashem, you are with me. And the first guy gets up and he reads it very eloquently. People are impressed. Second guy gets up, and everyone just has big smiles on their faces. They never heard poetry read so phenomenally. Third guy gets up, but you can't compare him to the second guy. And there's an old Jew in the back. He says, can I have a chance? They look at the guy, old Yid. He's got a very strong European accent. He wants a chance to read it. You know, might as well have some fun. They let the old Yid read the poetry, read Mizmor LeDavid. And within a minute, everybody in the room is crying. They're so blown away. You know, they give the award to the second guy. He was one of the three finalists. And the guy comes to the old Yid and he says, I don't deserve this award. You deserve it. You read it much better than I did. He says, No. I wasn't in the contest. He says, you know, I'm always learning to, looking to learn, to grow. I don't understand. How come when I read it, everybody was smiling, beaming with pride? But when you read it, everybody was crying. That is very simple. You read a piece of poetry. I know the shepherd. I know the shepherd. Do we know Hashem? Do we have a connection to Hashem? If we see all these tzuros, are we saying Hashem? This can't be! Are we crying out saying Hashem? This one doesn't have a shidduch, that one's going over there, this one's having such financial trouble, this one, Nebuch, they're not well and they have all these problems and the kids are fighting Hashem! If you know the shepherd, you're not able to see the sheep suffering. You say something to the shepherd. You cry out. You do whatever you can. The blood needs to be boiling. You want a geula, all the other chagim are beautiful, but redemption? That's blood. That's wake up. I'm not just going through the motions. I'm living life. I'm living life. I'm crying out. Because if I'm crying, it means I'm living. Otherwise, it means I've been broken and I just became complacent and said, this is the system. This is what it is. This is where Klal Yisrael is up to. I'm older, this is a younger generation, who am I? I don't understand it, I can't, they go, they did. Me, I need a man. I did my ishtadlus. But it is what it is. Baruch Hashem, I raised a nice family. That's beautiful. But unless you cry out, unless you know the shepherd and you scream, and you feel the pain, Umal Hashem at the Vavcha, that there needs to be that Brit Milah that takes away the Orla so that it can flow. You put it on the doorposts. Not for now, but that's the mezuzah. Every single thing we see, we're supposed to be saying, Hashem, I'm here to represent you, to serve you. You walk into your house and there's the mezuzah as opposed to the blood. This is Hashem's house. This is Hashem's house. I'm here to serve Him, to represent Him. I can't just go through the motions. I need to be living. Living it. Rahmana liba bai, He wants to live. Are we stuck in kaved? Is that the one making the decisions? Just the desires? Ani echpadati? Has our heart become the kaved? It's just all blood as opposed to directing what, where, why, when? Be'ezat Hashem, we'll take the messages of the Geula. And we'll say we need to be a melech. We need to be a king. Moach, lev, then kaved. Not hechbadati alibo. It can't be that we've become so blah and so used to what's going on that we say, it is what it is. What can I do? Who am I? You cry out to Hashem. It doesn't say any specific person did anything. They cried out and then Hashem found the Redeemer. We have to cry out. We have to make sure our blood is boiling. And then Hashem says, I already have Mashiach's ready and waiting. He's here. Hashem's waiting for us to call out.